Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. John Marsh is a United States Marine Corps veteran. He was awarded High Times Magazine Garden of the Month in April of 1995 and designated High Times Freedom Fighter of the Month for July 1996. John operates the largest social media cannabis oil healing group in the world, and he's joined me today to tell us all about it. Welcome, John, to Cannabis Radio.
Thanks, Vivian. Good afternoon.
You know, I should have known this, but I didn't realize that you were High Times Freedom Fighter of the Month for July 1996. I was Freedom Fighter of the Month for October 1996, so we're High Times Freedom Fighter brothers, only a few months apart. That's kind of cool.
It is cool. Fighting for two different things, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly, but for the same cause in general. In 1993, you left the Marines and suffered from the symptoms of Gulf War syndrome. Is that when you discovered for the first time the therapeutic potential of cannabis, or did you already know about it?
I smoked in college in 86 and 87, 88, 89, but I didn't know why I was using it at the time, probably just socially. But once I got out of the Marine Corps and I had served in Kuwait, we went through some pretty hellacious environmental areas that were heavy thick smoke for hours. And when I got out, I lost 20 pounds. That's when I found out that cannabis helped me. I don't think I have PTSD, but I definitely could, but I wouldn't know it because I've used cannabis since 1993, and that's what set me on my path.
Yeah, I know that they had like burn pits and depleted uranium and all kinds of environmental toxins over there. That was also the year that you attended your first Hemp Fest. Was that Seattle Hemp Fest?
Yeah, Seattle. Wow. I went to Bellingham within a few days of getting out of the Marine Corps in January of 93. And I landed here in Bellingham from 94 to 99. And that's where I had read Jack Hare's book and I read Chris Conrad's book. And that got me enthused.
The Emperor Wears No Clothes and Lifeline to the Future, right?
Yeah. And they were what got me started. And I was up here with a guy named Brian Estes, who you might remember. He had the Cannabus up here.
Yep.
And he was always up at Western Washington. That's where I first met him. He sold me my issue of The Emperor Wears No Clothes and Hemp Lifeline to the Future. And I was off after I read those two.
I want to get into the social media cannabis oil group that you started some time ago. But you have some stories about how it all came to be and what led up to your founding the group. You helped someone in your hometown who was given 5 months to live. What can you tell us about that?
So that was in 2015. I had just moved home, and Dale had worked for the county for 20 years, and his wife told me he got stage 4 renal cell carcinoma with no hope, no chemo, no radiation, no hope from the VA or Oregon Health and University. So I gave her a tube of this oil, and Dale lived. Supposed to live 5 months and die before Christmas, and he lived 5 Christmases. And I got him his oil the first 18 months, and then in my hometown of Milwaukee, Washington, we got a dispensary. Amazing as that is, with 600 people as a population. But for the next 3 years, he was able to just go down and buy a gram of it in a syringe right off the shelf, and he lived for 4.5 years.
Wow.
With no hope. I mean, literally the VA and Oregon Health and Science University told him just to go home.
All mammals have an endocannabinoid system, and you also treated a dog with a cancerous tumor. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, 10 or 15 miles from my hometown is Nacelle, Washington, and it's even smaller than Owako. But this guy was told to put his dog down, or definitely to amputate the leg that had this hot dog, about half the size of a hot dog, a tumor. And I met the guy out razor clam digging one day, and he mentioned his dog's tumor. And I said, well, why don't you give me some of your medical cannabis? And he was in his 60s, and he grew gooey duck. I'd never heard of it, but it was a strain. And I made him about 20 grams of this oil, and he fed the dog that and elk burger. And we know elk burger doesn't treat cancer. So within 11 grams of eating oil and elk burger mix, the tumor turned to mush. And the veterinarian was in awe. And he used the remaining 9 grams on a future cancer that this dog got. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I treated cancer in people, but I helped that guy extend his life 4 years, right?
Right.
And see 5 Christmases that he wasn't supposed to. And the dog, you know, the guy was told by a medical professional that, in their opinion, if it was their dog, they would kill it or chop its leg off. So, yeah, both outcomes were great. I mean, not everybody survives it, but in these two instances where I intervened, they were great successes. And, you know,
when you're going to be dead forever, 5 years is a long time, man, to have life, you know?
Yeah, it is when you come home from an appointment that says you only have 5 months, and then I roll up, some kid you used to watch right around town on a BMX bike, hands your wife a tube of oil from a plant. And
that's pretty powerful.
You know,
that's pretty powerful stuff. You debated.
That's pretty awesome.
You debated Rick Simpson of Phoenix Tears fame in 2012, and who I interviewed on this show in 2015. That debate also contributed to your starting a Facebook group that's now the largest cannabis oil healing group on social media in the world, I believe. The term RSO actually stands for Rick Simpson oil, which has become controversial because he used agents such as naphtha as a solvent and stuff. But many people now call RSO FICO instead, for full extract cannabis oil. Tell us what came down and how it led to your amazing social media presence.
Right. Okay. So with the FICO and the FECO, full extract cannabis oil, I call it FECO because the E is stressed as an extract, right? So I call it FECO because FECO sounds too close to fecal. So people say fecal oil.
Okay.
I don't know what's that.
Point
and
taken,
I'm
John.
Like, no, FECO, full extract with an E, so, with an F. So I just always tell people, just like it rhymes with terror, FECO rhymes with echo.
Sounds good. So
I go into Rick Simpson's fan page on May 22nd. of 2012, and there's a discussion going on about solvent use, and I said, okay, well, Rick recommends light Canadian naphtha, which if you're not in Canada, you can't get, right? So that is basically the equivalent of paint thinner and camping fuel here in the U.S., but Rick says that Canadian light naphtha is safer than those products, I guess. So the debate came down to whether you could use grain alcohol or Everclear or organic alcohol, and Rick's admin, Gendrich Bear, and Rick both declared that using that as a solvent would make weak oil, and people would rely on it being stronger oil, and they would end up dying. So what they mean is that you got to do it Rick's way, or you can't call it RSO. So I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go start my own group that I don't care what you use, right? If you want to use paint thinner, that's fine, but I won't call it Rick Simpson oil or RSO. So when you join my group, that's one of the names when you enter is, you know, we don't call it RSO, we call it cannabis oil, or like you said, FECO. And people agree, that's all cool. So I started this group, and, you know, it's now 178,000 people. And I started out, it's called Cannabis Oil Success Stories, but it's more of a guiding thing than actual where some people can come and, it's not like a website where you can have sections and stuff. So most of the success stories are just people that have come in and left their story after using it, you know, but following people's journeys in the group is the main thing. You can go into the search bar for 11 years, type in, you know, glaucoma, and any mention of glaucoma in the last 11 years will come up within a comment or a post. So, but okay. Yeah, it initially started with getting into a debate with Rick and his admin. They still said that it would make 2 week of oil. And I tried to point out that you can compound things like aspirin, right? Take two aspirin instead of one.
Hold that thought, John, because we've got to go to a quick break, but I want to talk more about your group. We're going to take a quick break and come back with John Marsh.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And we're back with John Marsh. So John, for the benefit of people who aren't on social media, there might be, like, I don't know, maybe two listeners out there who aren't. How does a Facebook group operate? What kind of things do people discuss? And how does it all work?
So people come in and they'll either participate by just watching the comments or the comment on a post. But most people will come in and say, my grandma has arthritis or glaucoma or glioblastoma, or my son's got, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And the first thing I tell people is go to the search bar and type that keyword into the search bar, because any mention of it in the last 11 years, like I was saying, will come up in the results. So if you type in glioblastoma, you got 10 years of comments about it. And people not only suggest what cannabis oil remedies recommend, but also other things, right? There's a lot of people that recommend fenbendazole and ivermectin and all the horse-based stuff. But in general, it's all about cannabis oil, and you just come in and kind of look around. And it's a hard group to find on Facebook, because Facebook has these algorithms, and if you typed in cannabis oil success stories, the algorithm automatically does not show anything that has cannabis in the name. So if you type in oil success stories, it's a way to get there, at least to find it.
There are some platforms and social media platforms have restrictions regarding cannabis specifically. Have you encountered that? Are there any restrictions on Facebook?
So Mike's been warned multiple times. I'm getting admin warnings from 7 years ago, people posting, right? Like, where can I get cannabis oil? And these bots go into these groups and they just start going through all the past comments, and they found them from 7 years ago in my group and issue warning. And they've even said they're going to close it down. So I've actually started secondary groups in case that happens. Like, it's cannabis oil success story. So I've started a secondary group called COSS, just in case cannabis oil success stories.
So that's the name of your group. Your group's there. Called Cannabis Oil Success Stories.
Yeah.
Cool. I have SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And a while back, I joined several SIBO Facebook groups. And first of all, it was really nice to see that other people were dealing with the same things I was, but also I was able to see people comparing what worked for them, what foods, you know, they could tolerate, and what treatments helped them and stuff. And I imagine it's the same thing in your Facebook group, that people are talking about dosage and strains and things like that.
Yes. So a lot of people believe that when Rick Simpson said you needed to take a gram a day for 60 days or 60 grams in 90 days, that's what most people say. It's kind of like an infomercial, right? Take 60 grams in 90 days. It'll cure anything. I don't believe that to be true. Most people don't believe that to be true. But what Rick Simpson was saying is a gram of his oil. Now, Rick Simpson claims all his oil was over 90%. So Rick Simpson is basically saying you need 900 milligrams THC, right? You don't need a gram a day. He is saying that you need a gram a day of his, quote, RSO, which he says is 900 milligrams. So I tell people, you know, that's what I target 500 milligrams. I tell people, you want to target 500 milligrams of THC plus whatever else comes in your oil a day. Nobody knows what the other stuff does, so it's hard to tell people how to dose it, especially when you can't really get it. You can't go to the street guy and say, can I get this in my oil or what's your oil? But a lot of people believe you need 3 to 5 strains, you know, to make whatever they call it as a full plant extract, right? So they're cramming in the stems and the stalks and, you know, the full plant orange juice and the full plant apple juice don't include the stalks and the roots and the stems and the bark. So I tell people use the flowers to make your oil as potent as you can. And if you can get it tested, that's great. And target, you want to get it 500 milligrams, but, you know, like Rick says, 900. So, but I don't believe you need 3 to 5 strains, because what people are saying is, you need more terpenes, because every strain, the THC and the CBD and the CBG and the CBN are all identical, right? There's 2,500 varieties of apple, but they all have the same vitamin C. They all have you don't ask what strain of apple is in your apple juice. So it's the THC and the CBD and all that other stuff that matters, and not necessarily how many.
Fascinating.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. You mentioned that somebody benefited from store-bought oil, and there's a lot of controversy, you know, within my community over the quality and the consistency of the oil that you find in the commercial cannabis market, right? In the legal stores. What are your thoughts
right.
on that?
Well, I know for a fact there's some shady people in there. There's dispensary owners that, well, maybe not. There's purchases that know lab people. They'll fudge those numbers on purpose. They just do. And it's almost everybody, if I didn't make the people bought it in a store, and I would say that more people have been directed by me to go to a store and get it than I have supplied people. I've supplied people who have 20 seizures a day. And one woman went 14 weeks without having one, and she went 20 a day for 30 years. I made that oil. The guy that lived for 5 Christmases, 3 years longer on store-bought oil. It was actually, I can tell you the brand. It's made in Washington, obviously, because you can't get it from out of state. There's a Skagit Organics, which you can buy like a 6-pack now of syringes. It's like $18 a gram. Johnny Vanilla is $15 a gram.
And when you say syringes, so I think it's important to say you're not shooting it up. It just comes in a syringe and then you take it orally.
Right, not needle point. Yeah, they're what you see the gerbil with as opposed to jamming it in your vein.
Yeah.
Non-needle oral syringes. Yeah. It's just the easiest way to put it in and dose it, because you can look if it's calibrated. You can say, oh, there's a tenth of a gram.
And it's very viscous.
People are just starting out.
Right.
Yeah, it's like honey. It's literally like honey. So what I tell people, like if grandpa's going to be treating his glioblastoma and grandpa doesn't know much about THC, I say get that gram of oil, which is, right. You know, 70% is 700 milligrams. You squirt that in a 1-ounce bottle of coconut oil, and boom, feed in drops. Each drop will be less than a milligram of THC.
Right on. We have even less than a milligram of this segment, so we're going to take a break and come right back.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose.
We're coming right back.
We're back with John Marsh from the Social Media Cannabis Group. John, I hear you have some cool travel plans. Is that something you can talk about here?
Oh yeah, I can. Yeah, I'm going to Costa Rica in a little while to maybe help get a couple CBD businesses going into some little pharmacies in a certain area, which is kind of cool. But last year I went to Jamaica and I was looking for a place to put a retreat where I can put up some geodesic domes and invite people to come and take oil where they can't take it, like in Missouri or Texas or whatever, right? So I went to Jamaica for a few months and actually stayed at Coral Cove, which was featured in CNN on that mushroom special the other night. So that was great. And I'm looking forward to converting my cannabis museum, which I just designed, and maybe putting it into a trailer and traveling around, maybe to Vegas, and maybe set that thing up permanently. But I do want to travel around and check out more of the cannabis realm outside the Pacific Northwest, because it's just kind of where I've been holed up since I was born.
You mentioned your cannabis museum. You recently displayed your collection of artifacts at the Cannabis Science Conference in Portland, Oregon. I checked it out at thecannabishempmuseum.com, thecannabishempmuseum.com. Wow, really cool. I mean, you've got all kinds of vintage, like turn of the century pharmaceutical bottles or cannabis, medicine elixir bottles, and cannabis roots and all kind of stuff. Tell us about that.
I got arrested in 1994 growing in my basement. And so when I came back from the Gulf, I realized I had been sickened by possibly the depleted uranium you're talking about back earlier. I decided I wasn't going to have any kids when I was 25 years old. So I literally told people cannabis is my baby. I'm getting this legal by 2000 and, just stand back because you're just going to get pummeled with info. So that's kind of where
I
my
feel
head
you, bro.
Was.
I feel you, man. I felt
oh, yeah.
I got the same shit.
Right. So here are, but I started just collecting here and there. I got a tin, one of the 300 cannabis cigarette tins. I don't think it's LVs, but I got a few of those, and then I just started buying up these artifacts, a bottle here, a bottle there. I've got some blouses from Ukraine that are made of hemp that are 100 years old. I've got a hackle from Ukraine, which they use to shred hemp. I bought it before the war.
Looks like a little bit of nails.
So a little bit. I have two of them. One from Kentucky. So in my display, I have a little section about Kentucky because Kentucky was big into that and tobacco, and they chose the wrong plant to propagate, for the next century. But I just started collecting, and now I've got probably $50,000 worth. Those big blue jars you saw on there are from the British Navy, and they used to transport opium, hair, or the coca leaves and cannabis leaves to this Portsmouth and Chatham. They were resupply locations for the British Navy, and the pharmacists there on the island would turn them into pills or whatever, oils and tinctures, and then they'd go send them back out on the ships for the old sailors.
John,
yeah,
maybe a minute and a half left in the show, so in 30 seconds, what are your final thoughts, man? Would you like to leave our listeners with about your group?
Well, so as far as the group, if you're on social media and you are on Facebook, I would go and search Oil Success Stories and see if it comes up. If you got any questions about, cannabis oil, but to find me, I'm at thecannabisconsultants.com, thehempconsultants.com, or I'm on LinkedIn with like 1,100 cannabis connections. So for people to find my group, they could do it. And I don't know, it's going on the 11th year. I mean, May was the 11th year, waking up every day and looking at what people are asking and saying, if I had your disease, this is what I would do. So for, almost over 4,000 days, I've done that. So I'm ready to take that from a social media aspect and 20% of my life doing that and just do it
All right.
in a bigger realm, I guess.
John, thanks for being on the show, man.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Right on.
I appreciate the time.
That concludes this installment of Hempresent and Cannabis Radio. When it comes to prohibition, you got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice. Find your voice. Speak up for justice because resistance is fertile. The Hempresent intro music is 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rand. And the outro music is Take Back the Plant by Stickerbush. Stay strong, folks. See you next week. Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.